Hi, today is September 5th, 2021. This is Mobile News Podcast 374. I'm Todd Agassa-Ward, McCoy, John Westfall.
Yeah, it works. I think they know who we are. Our fives of listeners are, that's right, are devoted.
That's right. We don't have a lot of listeners, but they are devoted listeners. Mm-hmm. Okay, the first thing is, John, I don't think you are an Audible subscriber.
I used to be many years ago, but I have not used the service in a while. So in my copious free time, maybe I will come back to it, but I haven't had copious free time in a long time.
Yeah, in many, many, many years. So I use Audible because, unlike you, I have a commute, or I used to have a daily commute. Now it's kind of a couple times a week. But I've really become dependent on Audible for my reading, in double quotes, because I really don't read books anymore, you know, at least paper ones or even Kindle for the most part. So I listen to books. And recently I noticed on the audible.com page that they're promoting something called Audible 3D Audio. And they have a couple of freebies that, you know, included with a subscription if you have it, which I do. I have an annual subscription, 12 credits. And so I tried two, I think, you know, just a couple of minutes. And I just couldn't hear the difference. I mean, one of the two books I tried was, I think, let's see. What was it now? One of the two books I took a listen to, because it's included, was Sheryl Crow, Words and Music. And I heard the words, didn't hear music. I didn't get far enough in the book. And I just couldn't hear enough audio difference to, like, continue listening to it. I enjoy her music, but not a huge fan. So, you know, it wasn't worth continuing on. And then the other one I tried was, what is the other freebie they had that sounded interesting? Anyway, it is a multi-actor cast. So more than one person reading, more than one reader. And it was a dramatization. I think it's this one. No, something else. Anyway, and again, I couldn't hear the difference. And by the difference, I mean, I've listened to, you know, many, many audiobooks over the years, in particular Audible ones. And I think I have you do the math. I have a subscription of 12 per year, and I've been subscribing for over 10 years. So lots of audiobooks. And I just couldn't hear the difference between that and other dramatization readings, you know, with multiple readers and all of that. So it's like, And I did listen to them with headphones on. In particular, I used AirPods Pro. So, you know, pretty decent headphones, which is how they recommend you listen to it to get the 3D audio. I did the high quality option to make sure that, you know, I download the correct version. I've been downloading standard all this time. And so that's the other thing. I couldn't hear the difference between high quality and standard. Now, you could say, well, Todd, you're old, and, you know, your hearing's going, blah, blah, blah. But I just couldn't hear the difference. That said, I'll try a couple of more because, lately I've been taking more walks. And so I've been listening with headphones on versus in my car. And so I think it might be an interesting way to while the time while I'm just wandering around.
Yeah, I have had one podcast that I listen to regularly, and they put out about 100 minutes of content a week. Wow. And that's about all I have time to do a week. When you cut down, because when I'm walking, I'll generally be on the phone with someone, catching up. And so I don't actually have a lot of time to take in audio content. Yeah. And I've always felt weird about listening to audio content and doing nothing at home. So when I'm not working on a project that requires my hands, audio content isn't something that I tend to consume at home other than music in the background. So
Yeah, I've been listening to some audio content, podcasts or audiobooks, when I'm just doing stuff around the house that, you know, requires my hands. So, and I'm moving, so it's not like I can watch something or anything. So it's, I make good use of it. I'm still happy with my Audible annual subscription, 12 books a year. Okay, next thing is,
I find it very strange that, just on that note, I find it very strange psychologically that I'm okay with sitting on a couch watching television.
Yeah.
But sitting on a couch listening.
Oh, you're going in and out, John.
Or music.
Oh, speaking of audio, I can hear you now, but you're going in and out. You were saying something about, feel funny about sitting on a couch listening to audiobooks.
Okay, yeah, my observation is just it's okay to sit and watch TV, yeah, but not sit and listen to music or, you know, it's a very strange psychological construct.
Yep. No, I hear you, and I'm the same, you know, generally speaking. We'll see. I'm really curious about this because I do listen to a lot of audiobooks, and as I said, I've been walking more, so, you know, it's something that I would like to experience if I can. I think it sounds like an interesting experience, this 3D audio thing. The Apple 3D audio, you know, for if you have AirPods.
Yeah.
I can hear the difference in the demo when you know go to set it up. I don't think I can hear the difference when I listen to something or watch something like Ted Lasso, which apparently has the spatial audio turned on.
I usually can tell a difference on it, but only with with my iPad or my iPhone. But generally with my iPad, I'll notice that if I'm sitting in a room and the iPad's sitting in front of me, it feels like the sound is coming from the iPad and not in my ears.
Interesting.
So sometimes I think that it's so good, it really, you just sort of don't notice it because it sounds like you're listening to it out of the speakers from the device.
Maybe that's it. Maybe it's so good, but back and try it again. Okay, next one I have to kind of correct myself, except I was right until I was wrong. And that is, I've been looking forward to using something called Google Cursive, which is a note-taking app. It's not a font, although there is a Google Cursive font too, which is kind of confusing. But originally I had read that it would only be available, and it being a PWA, a progressive web app, it would only be available on the, I think, unreleased, or hard to find at least, HP Chromebook X211 detachable. And so I was going to buy the Chromebook just to try it. Also because the Chromebook sounds really interesting. But at any rate, in the last week or so, I learned that it is now available for other Chromebooks. So you go to a website, which is, I wrote a separate blog about this. You go to a website, cursive.apps.chrome. And if you are on a Chromebook, you will be taken to, you'll get a little tutorial and you'll be able to use a stylus on your Chromebook to take notes, writing and so forth. And it seems to do automatic handwriting recognition, although my handwriting is so bad it doesn't do a good job of my handwriting. And I tried to, because it has a stylus, you know, anything that has a stylus or pen, I'll try to doodle with it. And so I did a pair of doodle experiments, which I've blogged about. I don't understand Google's design, I gotta tell you after this. First of all, it's, you know, given that it's a note-taking app, not a drawing app, it's fine for doodling. Almost anything is fine for doodling, as another friend of mine pointed out. He said, Todd, well, you know, why do you say it's a big deal to try to doodle with something not designed for doodling? Isn't that what doodling is about? You're just using a writing, you know, or note-taking thing and whatever you have is available. And I said, yep, you're right. Anyway, I don't think you can type on this thing, which is kind of weird. It's all stylus, which I found interesting.
No, what's also interesting is if you go to cursive.apps.chrome on an iPad using the Chrome browser, it crashes immediately.
Yeah.
It, you know, and tells you to reload and just goes into a reload loop. So it's very interesting that they probably could make it work there, but I have a suspicion they don't want it to work there.
No. And in fact, if you go to Chrome, Chrome browser on a Mac or a PC, it just kind of sits there going, no. You really need a Chromebook for this. In fact, here, I'll do it on my Mac now. And it says, Cursive is designed for Chromebooks. Open Cursive on a Chromebook for the best experience. Oh, it does let me continue anyway. Let me try this. Okay. So, isn't that interesting? Huh. All right. Well, let's see if it catches up. So what I was going to say is, there it is. Okay. So what I was going to say is it's a little bit odd, you know, not being able to type to take notes. Although I guess you could say it is named Cursive, so the implication is you're going to write everything. And like you said, it doesn't work on an iPad, doesn't work on an iPhone. I'm running Chrome browser on a MacBook right now, and I can see the notebook I created called Doodles, appropriately enough, on my Mac, And let's see, can I open it? Can I open it? Can I open it? Yeah, I guess I can open it. So that's good. Okay, so at least I can. Can I actually take a note? I'm not sure. I guess I could. No, new note is grayed out. So if you use anything but a Chromebook, it's read only on the web in Chrome. Eh, you know, that's kind of halfway there. But I think we've gotten so used to having everything available everywhere, you know, whether it's Evernote or Google Keep or Microsoft OneNote. It's kind of weird to see a note-taking app that's only available in read-write mode on a Chromebook and read-only mode on a Mac. And I don't think I even got this far in Windows. I got to go back to a Windows device when, if I can find one and try it. I got to play with it more. It seems really, really weak. Unless all you want to do is take notes with handwriting. I don't know. What do you think, John? You think that there's a market for this?
That's a good question, considering that they seem to want to lock it into one platform. And I think the best thing about most note-taking device, you know, most note-taking platforms is that they at least work somewhere cross-platform. Right. You know, Evernote, OneNote.
Yeah.
So that seems like a weird choice to me. But it's an interesting idea. It looks very similar. It reminds me a lot of Note Shelf, the app I use on the iPad for note-taking on occasion. But Note Shelf I can use many places. So,
yeah. You know, this seems to be one of Google's problems, right? They have some really good ideas, and they silo it, even though they have similar products. So they have Google Keep, which is an excellent note-taking product. In fact, I would say I probably use that most for short notes and for capturing web links and annotating it for myself, which is what I used to use Evernote for, which I don't use anymore. So, you know, it seems like they should have just integrated it with Google Keep. But again, you know, Google, they have three or four different network
different
conferencing.
Products that do the same thing.
Same thing, yeah. So kind of follows that. In fact, remember, what was the email thing they had that you used to like, I think? They had Gmail.
Oh, well, there was Inbox, and then they got rid of Inbox.
Yeah. Yeah, so they had
Google
Mail. I used
it a little bit. I never used it a lot.
Oh, okay. Maybe it might have been Frank or some one of our other friends who used it a lot. But in any case, if you're wondering, I think John's opening a box or something.
It's one of those rare times where I got a FedEx delivery on a Sunday, which is very strange. You know, usually down here you can't get anything on a Sunday. So,
you're getting some almost ASMR kind of sound from John. Looks like knitting
this purple
stuff.
Purple yarn.
Yeah,
purple
I was correct.
Yarn to make a sweater out of at some point.
Yeah. Wait. Do you knit or crochet? I know there's a difference, but I don't know what it is.
I do both, so okay. You know, you're good either way.
Okay. Okay.
This one will be next.
So it's I'm going to fuss with it a bit more just because I enjoy fussing with note-taking apps and apps that let me doodle. So I'll fuss with it some more. But it's definitely not an art app. You know, even the colors are basically highlighter colors only. So very light, not very many. And the pen colors are quite good, though, if, you know, that's your thing.
Well, you're actually talking about something I played with a little bit this week. I was trying to find a good way to do a projected whiteboard in my classrooms.
Yeah.
Because I have a lectern, you know, pointed at the students and my iPad sitting on that. And I wanted to be able to doodle on the iPad and see it, have them see it up on the screen behind me so that I don't have to turn my back and that sort of thing. Not that I have hooligans in my class that will do anything when my back is turned, but, you know, just better for, you know, seeing the class. So I started using OneNote and figured, well, if I have the OneNote notebook open on the screen and I'm doodling on my iPad, it should show. And that worked for about 30 to 60 minutes, and then it would freeze.
Oh.
And I'd have to reload on both devices the OneNote page, and so that was kind of awkward. Then I tried Microsoft Whiteboard, which
they've
not updated in 5 years. And so it's buggy. It's actually not that bad on corporate accounts, but I wanted to use it on my personal account, which they say you can do, but yet it's still not designed to allow personal accounts. So it'll work on the iPad, but you can't pull it up on the actual computer screen. And just really stupid bugs. Like you turn on the share link, and instead of the share link, the button at the bottom changing from cancel to save – it stays canceled. Well, immediately it disables the share link that you just created because the UI doesn't update properly. That's just amateur hour. What I did find was an app called Explain Everything, which is sort of overkill for what I want to do because it allows you to do recordings. It allows you to embed your video, all these other things. I just want a simple whiteboard. And it does allow that under the free plan for just a whiteboard. And it's kind of nice in that it also tracks where you're locating on the iPad. Hmm. It'll zoom and show that on the screen. So you basically, it tracks whoever's writing. And if I zoom in, it'll zoom in. And so that's a nice feature of it. So if you're looking for mobile whiteboard, projectable whiteboard, and you're not using conferencing software because you're in an actual old school in-person meeting, Explain Everything isn't a bad idea.
I will put the link in. I just found the site and I will put the link in there. Okay. And there we go. All righty. And next up, and this is going to be a short podcast, right, John? We don't have a lot to talk about this week, but I guess we can start talking about rumors about upcoming Apple products, since one of the rumors is it's going to be in 9 days from the time we record this podcast on September 14th, so that's not too far away. Why don't you start? You found something interesting and annoying at the same time.
There's an interesting rumor, and I love the way that the article I found this leaks, you know, makes it. It's going to make Apple fans so angry. It makes me not too surprised, but it also, we'll have to see what it is. And the idea here is that a lot of the new rumors for Apple Watch 7 are showing a larger render, and the idea that the sizes of the watches are going to get bigger. The screen will get bigger, and rumors about different layouts and all this other stuff. With that, the often talked about, well, is Apple going to bork backward compatibility with all the bands that they've been putting out for years? And this has come up again of, no, they're gonna do it this time, and your old bands are either not going to fit properly, there'll be some gap at the edges of them, or they won't fit at all, and new bands won't fit old watches. Mm. And so, of course, we don't know. I mean, Apple could create a backwards compatible housing for the band that would look just fine. But regardless, what I find interesting is, would I care? Because even though I have a ton of Apple Watch bands over using the Apple Watch for 5 years, I probably have about 30 watch bands to total it all up. I don't change them very often. You know, I might change them once a month or so. I've had the same band on that I am right now. I've had on for probably 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And this, you know, after a while, you use a band for a month or two, and then you switch to something else, and maybe you don't go back to that other band for a while. Okay, so I'm not that concerned about this, but I'm curious what your thoughts are.
I am actually in even a more extreme camp. I have only changed my watch band once, and that is when I bought my, you know, $11 Hermes knockoff to replace the you know, the band that came with the Series 6, and that's it. In fact, wait a minute. I bought this for the Series 3, so I've only changed it once for two different Apple Watches over in a period of, I don't know, 4 years or whatever it's been now, 3 years. So I kind of don't care. And it's because I have not put in the investment like you have, and you don't really care either, it sounds like, but... You know, some people pay $150, $200 for a watch band. I'd be upset, I guess, if my $200 watch band
didn't fit. I have a few of those. I did buy some of the very expensive watch bands. Ooh. But I also, you know, I don't use them that often. Plus, it probably helps that I'm planning on keeping my Series 6.
Yeah.
Even if I were to a Series 7, just because I want to have another watch so that when I, since I sleep with it on, if I get, if I'm home late and I have be able to charge it, I don't need to worry about, you know, not being able to use it to track sleep and all that. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I think Apple might pull the rabbit out of the hat on this one and keep the compatibility. I think the new bands will be listed as, you know, 45 millimeter, whatever it is. That's why we've seen the old ones being yanked from the Apple stores, or the Apple stores not getting them. Yeah. But if you remember, Apple did that with the 38 and 42, and you can use those bands just fine with the 40 and 44s. So they've already shown us once that they can make the device bigger but keep the lugs for the bands exactly the same.
True, true.
And with the idea that they want the bands to be somewhat collectible, you know, they have limited edition bands and special bands and those sorts of things. I don't see them say, oh, yeah, for the last 6 years we've had you collecting the Pride band in June every year, and now you can't use them anymore because now you've got to buy a new one because the old ones won't fit, or the old ones will look horrible or something like that. So,
yeah, that said, you know, Apple is one of those companies, and I don't know if you want to call it, if you remember, they used the word courageous 1 year for something. I forget what it was. But they have been courageous in just saying, hey, you know what? We're just not going to do this anymore. We're going to remove the floppy drive. We're going to remove USB-A ports. We're going to move the internal DVD drives. You know, they're really not afraid to cannibalize their own products. So I wouldn't be too surprised, but I can empathize with people who, unlike me, have, you know, quite a bit of investment in watch bands and might get upset if it doesn't fit or fit the way they think it should. So my condolences to those of you who may be affected by this change. And I guess for John and me, it's like, eh, you know, okay, fine.
Yeah, it's something that we'll just see how it goes. And I'm not going to pass judgment until I actually see
exactly
what's going on with it. But it certainly seems like a lot of people are angry. Well, not a lot of people. It certainly seems like some bloggers would like people to be angry. But those are, yeah, some of those pundits are also the same ones that are just angry the Apple Watch was a success. We've talked about that in the past, where there were a lot of people, for some reason, that were just angry wearables took off.
Oh, they're just angry about everything. I mean, I remember they're angry when Apple switched from whatever they were using before to the you know, high definition displays that we have today, right? What is it called, John? I can't even remember. But you know, they're saying, well, you know, now the old screens, you know, make me want to scratch out my eyes. And I went, whoa, fella, you know, we've been looking at these screens for years, and so far nobody has had eye damage because of them. So I don't know what you're talking about. Retina display, that's what I was trying to remember when they switched to retina display. I remember some fairly well known pundits, you know, going through this whole ranting and raving about, oh, now all our old devices are useless and whatever. Okay, that said, Apple Watch Series 7. So we both have a 6. I've never bought a new... Well, I've only ever had 2 Apple Watches. I had a 3 and I have a 6. So I'm not one of those folks who, you know, buys one every year. I think you're on a little bit tighter schedule than I am, every other year or something like that.
Yeah, somewhere around there. What, you know, you've looked at some of the rumors on the Apple Watch 7. The design changes are one of the big ones. The additional sensors, it's debatable if those are going to be there. I think a lot of people have said now it's probably not accurate that Apple will be adding blood pressure this year. That seems like it'll be a long way off. Although that
would
be
temperature.
Interesting.
Yeah, that'd be interesting too.
So is there anything on there that you're thinking if they had it, you would upgrade from a 6 to a 7?
I'm looking at the Mac Rumors kind of roundup of the features. And it, like you, it says, you know, basically all the stuff I'm interested in. The health teacher, blood glucose monitoring, blood pressure measurements, temperature sensor, sleep apnea detection. You know, that kind of interesting stuff that may be possible is future, not 7. What it does say for the 7 is that it will have new watch faces, which is okay, great. I'm pretty happy with my photo watch face. I would like to be able to adjust the complications more. And that's about it, right? I don't think I see anything else. Is there anything? Are there any new features?
The irony to me is that the feature that I want the most is something that should be coming to the 6, which is I want to try out this assistive touch that Apple demoed and that is in watchOS 8. So I guess I could upgrade now to the betas if I wanted to and try it out to see how well it works or how well it doesn't work. But this idea of one-handed operation with the Apple Watch, that sounds kind of interesting.
That does.
And that's something that's going to be there with watchOS 8 no matter which version of the watch I'm using. So we'll just have to see. Like I said, if they can make a really cool looking new version of the watch, and those watch faces are very compelling, which that would take a lot for me because I'm pretty happy with the watch faces I have now. In fact, same. I struggle sometimes to find complications to add to them. I do wish the photo watch face was a little more customizable.
Yes, exactly.
Because I think a couple more complications, or honestly, on the photo watch face, the ability to move the complication anywhere I want it would be really nice instead of the pre-built locations. Because I have a few photo watch faces that are sort of designed for the complication where it's at, things like Batman slapping Robin and telling him the time, you know, what time is it, you know, and then the speech bubble has the time in it. That's kind of a fun thing to do. That's the watch face I use when I'm traveling. I don't need a lot of information at my fingertips, but I would like to have more customizability over that photo watch face if possible.
Yeah, in fact, I only have three things. I use a photo watch face almost exclusively, and the only three things I have on it is day of the week and date, time, and weather. That's all I have on my watch. I have to go look if I can add anything else to a photo watch face. I don't even know. I haven't changed it since I set it up on the Series 3, I think. So two things. The rumor again is that the new iPhone and new Apple Watch will be announced next week on the 14th. And, you know, we can speculate all we want, but we'll find out in 9 days, seems like.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. I'll look forward to that. I don't see anything in the rumored features, and there aren't very many new features, that would make me run out and spend a couple $100 on a new watch when I'm perfectly happy with the Series 6. And, you know, I was happy with the Series 3 for many years until I think I ran out of space. I think that was a problem. I couldn't upgrade, and is it all? I might as well just buy a new one.
What are your thoughts on an iPhone upgrade?
Yeah, I wanted to share one more thing about the Apple Watch, which I think you already know about. So, you know, I rarely remember things I dream about, which I often find disappointing because I'm kind of interested in dream content. But I did have a dream the other day that I actually remembered. And I would say it's the first dream I've remembered in many, many months. And it had to do with the Apple Watch. I got a preview of the new Apple Watch 7. And I went into annoyed shock because the watch crystal, which, you know, normally is kind of a mostly flat with a little bit of a bezel, curved bezel. The Apple Watch 7 crystal in my dream was like an upside down goldfish bowl, you know, like a little dome on top of the watch. And it was so annoying. I woke up in the middle of that dream just like, what the? Who designed this idiotic thing? You know, and well, the answer is me, since it was my dream.
Yeah. But, yeah.
But still. So that was, I guess I've been thinking about the Apple Watch 7, even though I don't talk about it. Okay, new iPhone.
Yeah, so we haven't heard too many rumors on new iPhone, but I'm curious if there's anything. Because you and I both have the iPhone 6 Pro or 12 Pro Max.
12 Pro. You have the Max, I have the Pro.
6 Pro as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are you thinking if there's anything on there that would make you want to upgrade?
It is because I don't have a Max, if they brought some of the Max photo features down to the Pro, to the 13 Pro, no Max, and specifically the larger zoom and, you know, that sort of thing, I might consider it. But that said, I don't use my Apple iPhone much for photos these days, except for ultra wide, because of the Google Photos limitation. So I'm still using my Pixel 4a, or not still. I've been using the Pixel 4a since July 1 to take most of the photos I take that don't need an ultra wide. So, you know, there's not a lot there that I can imagine I need. I'm really happy with the 10 Pro or whatever I have, 11 Pro, whatever. Yeah. 12 Pro, sorry, man. We change phones so often, I forgot. The 12 Pro. I'm so happy with the 12 Pro still, and it's still under warranty, you know, for another year. So I'm not sure I have any inclination to change it. I can't imagine what they would add that I would find that interesting. Have you heard any rumors?
Well, you know, looking at Mac rumors again, which always does a nice job of wrapping all these things up, there's really not much on there that seems interesting. The only one that we hear about is the rumor of an always-on display.
That's interesting.
But even then, I mean, my iPhone, half the time I pick it up and the display comes on, I didn't want the display to come on. I think about, like, pulling it out of my pocket, and I see the display pop on, and I think, oh, I didn't really need that on right now. So I don't know if I need an always-on display with my Apple iPhone.
Well, I think
now so. Go ahead.
I was going to say, though, I think, though, you know, the always on might be more like the Android always on, where it doesn't mean that the screen is on, but you do see kind of the basics. So, for example, let me see if, I don't know if John can see my screen. So this is my, this is my Android screen, and really all it shows, I actually turned on the screen. When it's in sleep mode, you see the time of day, date, a little bit of weather, and then some notifications, like if you, you know, somebody posted a comment to your Google Photos or something, and battery charge. But it doesn't show a, you know, background photo or anything like that. So it's very low powered. If it were something like that, I think it'd be kind of interesting. But like you, my iPhone tends to go to from sleep to on to, you know, full display way too easily. And in fact, I've locked my phones a couple of times because it was, you know, sitting in my shirt pocket and it went on and it thought I was pressing it and I wasn't. And it says, well, I'm going to lock you out for 10 minutes or whatever. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm just kind of looking. Let's see. We already have USB-C. Do we have USB-C on this? I can't remember anymore. No, it's still Lightning. Yep. If it switched to USB-C, nah, not enough. I tell you what. If it had Touch ID back instead of just Face ID, you know, if it, I'm looking at other things that might be there. 1 terabyte max storage. Nah, I don't need that much storage. I just don't see, I'm just looking through it. I don't see enough stuff to make it interesting. Smaller notch. The notch I have now doesn't really bother me after all these years. Nope. I don't see anything. I don't see it. What would convince you, if anything?
It's a good question. It would probably have to be the if they could get the cameras that are in the Pro Max into the Pro size, I might go back down to a smaller size. That might be it. But otherwise, I'm happy with the Pro Max. I'm happy with the MagSafe case I have, the MagSafe charger and all that, that I finally have gotten all back into that ecosystem. So I'm not really looking, there doesn't seem to be much that would jump me into a new phone or really even a new watch, even though this year I, you know, after still not traveling much and picking up extra stuff at work, my gadget fund is flush. I could pick up some stuff, but I don't know. Doesn't seem like there's much right now that drawing me in.
Actually, John, you know, compared to me, you have been traveling a lot. You've gone to more than one state outside of your home state.
that is true.
The furthest I've traveled is 20 miles from my home during the pandemic. Let me see, is that true? Yeah, 20 miles. Maximum distance I've traveled from my home in, you know, on a one-way journey. So I have not been moving much. And in fact, you know, my TSA Global, whatever it's called, Global whatever, is expiring. I tried to renew it just in case I ever travel again, but I couldn't log in, and I'm like, am I ever going to travel again? Nah, I don't care. I'm never going anywhere again.
Just never go anywhere ever again.
Yeah. Okay, so I did add to our show notes the iPhone 13 rumors from Mac Rumors. And other than that, that's about it. We covered 30 minutes without talking about much. It's pretty amazing. We always seem to do it.
That's our usual thing.
Yep. Okay, well, I'm hoping to get one of our other friends on in the next couple of weeks. I'll send out some invitations and see who's available. And especially for the week, the podcast after the rumored Apple announcement, if it happens on the 14th, I will send out some invitations, see some of our other friends can join us. Otherwise, that's it. Thank you, John, and we'll talk to you next time.